This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I can say this. There can't be bliss with anti-Semitism, racism, or hatred of any kind. In light of the devastating tragedy this week in Sydney, Australia, we are dedicating this show to the many innocent Jewish lives who were killed in a brutal terrorist attack while they were celebrating the Festival of Lights, the first night of Hanukkah. May their memory be forever a blessing. Our hearts and prayers are not only with the Jewish community in Australia, but with Jewish people all over the world who are heartbroken and frightened. We stand with you and against hatred and violence and reaffirm every Jewish person's right to live and celebrate in peace. We would also like to dedicate this program to the blessed memory of Ian White. Today is our annual holiday show, and we are celebrating Hanukkah and Christmas and all of the things. And back on the program to talk all about the movies and TV shows coming out this holiday season is author and film critic extraordinaire Tom Ernst. And later on in the show, we'll talk to Tim Gentle about the book Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma. And as an extra special holiday treat, Amelia DePiero will be singing us out of the show with her breathtaking rendition of O Holy Night. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Tom Ernst. Tom is a Toronto-based film critic and writer, an active member of the Toronto Film Critics Association. His written work on film has appeared in various publications. Tom is perhaps best remembered as the host, interviewer, and producer of television's longest-running movie program, Saturday Night at the Movies, and Bell Media's Making Movies, The Canadian Way. Currently, Tom's film reviews can be read on originalsin.ca and northernstars.ca. Tom's first book, The Wild Boy of Wabamuck, chronicles his life growing up with an abusive father in rural Ontario. But ultimately, I always like to add this, The Wild Boy of Wabamuck is a story of triumph because it's about a man who grew up to become a very successful film critic and broadcaster despite a difficult and abusive childhood. It reminds us that life, even at its darkest, can surprise us with moments of joy and hope and dreams for the future. The book was published by Dundurn Press. And then Tom penned the 101 Fascinating Canadian Film and TV Facts, which is a must read for all Canadian TV and film lovers. Great Christmas or Hanukkah or holiday gift for anyone. Tom, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss. Seventh year into the row, I think.
Oh my gosh. Wow, this is our, what do we call that? Our 7 year itch.
Our 7 year itch. Oh gosh. Yeah. I hope we make it to the eighth. Will I survive it to the eighth? Let's see. So great to have you back again.
Thank you, Judy. It's always fun.
So as I talked to you about before this show, I am obsessed with Wicked the movie, Wicked 1 and Wicked 2, known as Wicked for Good. And I saw it at a pre-screening and was absolutely blown away. Do you think it's safe to say that Wicked for Good is the must-see movie of the holidays?
I think it's safe to say that for people who really sort of enjoy that Broadway genre. I'm a musical fan. Now, I still have a little bone to pick that they divided up into two. You know, one of our critics at Original Sin said, it's the longest intermission in the world. And I didn't want that divide, you know, because when I see a musical, I kind of want to see the whole thing captured into one. So I had a little bone to pick about that. But what I really loved about Wicked 2, and it works a little bit like Into the Woods, where the first half tells one story.
Yes.
And then you get into the second half, and it's a completely different story.
It is.
That relates to the first. So I suppose there is some rationale for dividing it in half. But I loved how the second part became almost like a origin story for The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Yes.
And I found that fascinating.
Wasn't it cool the way that you never see Dorothy, you just see her back?
just, and you know what that reminded me of? When I was a kid and used to see movies about Jesus in movies, he was always just this glow or somebody yes. that you looked up at. Yes. She was this sort of almost reverential figure
yes.
in the film. And I did enjoy that. That was cool.
Okay, let's hear a little clip from Wicked for Good. I think this is the musical number Wonderful, which is so wonderful. Let's roll that clip. Oh, I do find that wonderful. What did you think of Jeff Goldblum in the role of the wizard?
I thought the film really benefited from having Goldblum in that movie because he was lighter. He was, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but he was a character that wasn't so steeped in the seriousness of the song. Like the songs in the second half are the heavier songs.
Yes.
You know, Wonderful was the exception. And to be quite frank, I could have used more of those songs.
Yeah.
Because I like the lively tunes, the ones that would get me wanting to move and capture my imagination. So I think Goldblum, who, by the way, he's aging really well. And he's kind of our Dick Van Dyke now, if we're going to replace Dick at any point. But Goldblum was great. This was one of my favorite numbers in the film.
Yes.
It was playful. It was kind of a unified moment between all the three major characters. And yeah,
it was fantastic.
I found it delightful.
I loved it too. Anyway, I love the young Glinda too. I thought that added some real dimension. You really got to see who is Glinda, you know, before, you know, like you get a whole backstory on Glinda. That little girl that is playing the young Glinda was fantastic as well. So that might bring a whole new audience too. Parents and grandparents, take your children just to see this little, I don't know, 8-year-old, 10-year-old.
Well, I think it is definitely a great family movie. And when I did go to see the film critics, we call it going to see movies with civilians when we go outside of the critical room. And I saw how many families, fathers and sons, and like with their families. And that was a delight to see. And I think I really took a lot of pleasure just from the energy that came off of that. Like these are the movies we went to, Sound of Music and things like that, when you and I were younger, Judy.
Yes.
That we could go see. You know,
totally. You know, what's so funny is when you do go, as you say, in the public, not as a film critic, and you see like the real thing. So I went to a very early showing. So when they had the love scene, you know, Fiero and Elphaba, you know, all the little kids are going, ew, ew. And then my daughter told me when she went to the 11:30 p.m. showing in New York City, it was like, ooh, same word, different inflection, right?
Yeah. You know, and what's funny about that, because I too was aware of that. And I thought, well, you know, if Wiki came out, if that was a show, again, when we were younger, that scene would not have happened.
Right.
Because it would have been thought for a different movie. Like,
yes.
We know what happened between them. And right. You know, when the camera pans to the sky, we know what happened. And that is, you know, I found that fascinating that has been now incorporated. And it might be a good thing. It's just been incorporated into, it's not a taboo thing. It's not something we don't talk about. You know,
right.
We know it happens. We don't see it, but, you know.
It's so funny, eh? But it's just funny how different audiences like have different reactions, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Then,
okay, I promise I'm going to stop talking about Wickedness. Just, I'm so obsessed with it. The next movie we have to talk about is Wake Up Dead Man and Knives Out Mystery. And this is now the third Knives Out film. Tom, what do you think it is about these Knives Out movies that people love so much? And as I mentioned before, Wake Up Dead Man is the third movie in the Knives Out series. What is it about it?
Well, you know, it's the format that, of course, Agatha Christie started, the great mystery writer. And it's the fact that you get a group of people, all characters, all interesting characters in their own way, villainous perhaps, or maybe too good, whatever, but they're all suspects in the murder of one person. Quite often in these cases, and I'm trying to think if in every case, no, like, except for the first Knives Out, the person murdered was somebody who, you know, you could see why somebody would off them. it's a cat and mouse game. It's trying to figure out who did it. It's all these great characters. Then at the center of it, you have this one person who plays off of them. It's them against him. In this case, it's them against Daniel Craig. And Daniel Craig is really, in this third outing, has really honed in on his character. Mm. He's no longer the sort of oddity that he would have been in the first few movies. But now he's really settled in. The character is solid. It's just, I really love these movies. Wow. And I might even go on a limb to say this third one is the best yet.
Oh, isn't that good to know? Well, here's a clip from that trailer now. Let's roll that clip.
You're the only one on stage with the Monsignor at the time of his killing. And you're the only one at that church who hated his guts.
The spirit really moved him today, huh?
So tell me, what the hell happened?
Everyone thinks I did it. I didn't do it.
This goes way beyond normal police work. This is something even I have not experienced. Perfectly impossible crime.
Oh my God. Okay, is this just me, but does Daniel Craig have an accent in this? It sounds like this Kentucky drawl.
That's exactly it. Benoit Blanc is his character's name, and he has a large Kentucky drawl there, a little bit of Foghorn Leghorn if you have your ear tuned to it. Yeah, and the other thing I mentioned when you asked why people are drawn to this is that the mystery, in this case, the murder, is always impossible. Like, there's no way. And then you'd love to find out how it all makes sense.
Wow. You actually got me excited about this. As you know, this is not one of my go-to films, but I'm kind of interested now. So thank you.
Well, I'm surprised by that because it's not a horror film or, you know, it's not a lot of murders and there's no blood and, you know. It's what they called like a tea cozy movie. Like it's, you know, like the people that just sort of like to solve mysteries. It's a good story.
I love that.
Have you not seen a Knives Out movie, Judy?
I never have.
Okay. We're going to have to remedy that.
Okay. I'm going to.
I promise. This is the one I think you should see.
I'm going to. I promise. Okay. I'll even write to you about it. Sounds great. Okay. So Tom, you have to explain this next one to me. This is Anaconda, starring Paul Rudd and Judd Black. And the plot of it is, I think, that they're remaking the real 1997 movie Anaconda. Can you explain?
Yeah, what the oddities about this film is just so confusing. So the premise is that Jack Black and Paul Rudd, I guess, were kids when the movie Anaconda came out. I don't know if that math works on that, but maybe it does. And they've always decided they wanted to remake Anaconda for whatever reason. Okay. And then this becomes a comedy. And I have a feeling it has the sort of, it hasn't been released yet, so I haven't seen it, but it feels like it has the sort of same temperature as maybe the Jumanji movies did. You know, the remaking of that, instead of going for a straightforward remake, they tilted the axis a bit and made it into a comedy. Huh. So I think it would have been funny if Paul Rudd and Jack Black just remade Anaconda as a comedy without this all the pretense of them making another film, etc. But who am I to say? The movie's not out yet. Jack Black is very funny. Paul Rudd is very charming. And I'm always up for a good snake movie.
I love that. Without further ado, let's all have a listen to Anaconda, starring Paul Rudd and Jack Black.
I don't want to wait, man.
Doug, what are you talking about?
Let's do it. Let's reboot Anaconda.
Yes.
Wait.
What?
This is going to be the adventure of a lifetime.
We've dreamed of making this movie ever since we were kids.
What does it cost to get this thing made?
$2.5 million.
We've approved a loan for up to $9,400.
Yes.
We're going to shoot it indie style.
Run and gun.
We need a riverboat, a script, a snake handler, and a real snake.
Claire, you and I will star in it.
I love you, Derek.
Kenny, you shoot it.
Here we go.
Doug, you direct.
Action! Put your face right up next to the snake.
No.
Bro!
Come on.
Okay, am I wrong? This sounds a little cray-cray, but hilarious.
Yeah, it does sound crazy to me, and to tell you the truth, when I look at the previews, I go, I am suspicious of this movie. But, you know, it's done by a man named Tom Gormican, who did a wonderful film a while back called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Nicolas Cage, about Nicolas Cage. So he's the man to do that sort of meta film, the film within a film, reality made fantasy, stuff like that. So if anybody could pull this off, it would be this gentleman. And again, like I say, you know, Jack Black and Paul Rudd, they're no schleps. They know what they're doing.
So. Right. Are you excited to see this new iteration?
Well, let's just say I was really excited to see Wake Up Dead Man.
Okay.
I will see it, and who knows? You know, like one of my favorite movies this year was a movie that I wasn't even sure I was going to like, and it's been my favorite movies, which is Sinners. I think we might have talked about that film before.
That's so interesting. Okay, we got to check it out. The next film we need to talk about is Marty Supreme, which stars Timothy Chalamet. I always think about that award performance, Chalamet. And he's playing a table tennis player. Can you tell us more about Marty Supreme?
Okay, so it's based on a true story, and it's by one of the Safdie brothers who, you know, made that great movie Gems with Adam Sandler, and he made the wrestling movie most recently with Dwayne Johnson. So the Safdie brothers have been really sort of rocking this intense sort of human drama that they do. And I always find their stuff have sort of the essence of Saul Bellow about them. You know, that intensity, that drive, that anxiety that sort of, you know, seized the day of being the, you know, Carpe Diem, the book that Bellow wrote.
Wow.
I don't know why they haven't made that film yet. So Chalamet, first of all, is one of the great actors that we have right now.
Yes.
And so he does an amazing job. He really sort of falls into this role. Have we seen a bad Chalamet before?
Never. No, he's it. He is it. You're right. He's like one of the it people right now, one of the it male actors in Hollywood. Absolutely. Yeah. What is it about him? What is it that, he's gorgeous, but what is it about him? He's just so good as an actor, so believable.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, what is it about him that other actors who probably are equally as good, like Paul Dano's one of my favorite actors, and despite what Quentin Tarantino says, but we'll leave that alone for now. Paul Dano is somebody who I think is just one of the great sort of modern actors, not nearly gets the attention that Chalamet does. And it could be perhaps his looks.
Yeah.
Even my wife, who is like 10 years his senior, finds him incredibly attractive.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. And so that might have something to do with it. Like, but I think probably because he's also one of the nice guys of Hollywood, apparently.
Yes.
And, but he does, his performances are captivating. They're engaging. And he does everything from comedy. He does intense drama. He has done drug addicts like Leonardo DiCaprio did on his rise up, you know. So in this one, he plays, based on a true character, who's in the sports industry, you know, as a suit in the sports industry, who gives it all up to become a ping pong player.
Let's hear the trailer for Marty Supreme. Let's roll that clip.
Hello?
Hey, it's Marty Mauser. I'm in the Royal Suite. I saw you in the lobby yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I never talked to an actual movie star. You know, I'm something of a performer, too.
Are you?
Yeah, you don't believe me?
What?
You got the Daily Mail in front of you?
This is you.
Yeah, the chosen one. It's a nice picture, right?
I have a purpose. And if you think that's some sort of blessing, it's not. It means I have an obligation to see a very specific thing through. And with that obligation comes sacrifice.
Everything in my life's falling apart, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Do you need any help? I could help you.
I know it's hard to believe, but I'm telling you, this game, it fills stadiums overseas. And it's only a matter of time before I'm staring at you from the cover of a Wheaties box.
Wow. Whoever knew that ping pong could be so intense? I think this is like a gripping film, right?
Yeah, it's a gripping film, but it's also funny. It's based on a true story. And, you know, we got people like Abel Ferrara in this, and who I love. And, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, we heard there. And other people like Fran Drescher. When was the last time?
Really? Oh my God, The Nanny.
Yeah, The Nanny and Sandra Bernhard.
What a cast. What a cast. I love that.
So, you know, like, I think the Safdie brothers are kind of like a more intense, believe it or not, Martin Scorsese.
Really?
And there's two of them.
And there's two of them. Double Martin Scorsese happening.
Double Martin Scorsese.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for all of that. So, finally, there's a show we need to talk about. It's not a new release, but it's just been a staple of pop culture for the past 25 years. And of course, I'm talking about Sex and the City. It was a TV series, then there were movies. Now there's a new show. I don't like the new show as much. Young people are still watching it for the first time and loving it. And my daughter, Lily, actually convinced me to rewatch it again. And I binge watched all six seasons, 20 episodes a pop, 18 to 20 episodes a pop. And I was obsessed with it. And I think I loved it better this time than back in the 90s. Tom, what do you think it is about Sex and the City that's made it so popular for so long and really has stood the test of time?
Well, I think originally what happened was there was very few shows that were able to sort of capture sort of the idea of single women in New York City or any big city. And these women were, I think we could say that they're perhaps in some company were more vulgar than the men that we usually
see. It's true.
And they're very open about it. And they talk frankly.
What about Samantha? Oh my gosh. I was shocked, actually. I forgot that Samantha is like really racy. And I don't know if it's just watching it on Netflix that they're showing more than they showed on TV, but I was like, whoa.
Well, because it started with, you know, like on those alternate channels, like, this aging thing is really,
getting to us all.
they got away with these kind of things.
Yeah. Oh, I get that, Tom. Sex and the City originally aired on HBO.
And so every episode, we had almost this roundtable discussion of the women and talking frankly, using language that we thought, you can't use that on television. And it was refreshing. These were women who not only apparently was vocally about their enjoyment of sex, about their, you know, about dating, their anger towards the certain things, their position in the world. It was for men, it was eye-opening. For women, it was probably refreshing.
So which character do you think I relate to the most?
Oh, I want to see Samantha, but I think that would get me in trouble. you're gonna hold me to that. The one that I had a little crush on, and let's not read too much into that. The one I had a little crush on was
Charlotte. That's me. I'm Charlotte.
Yeah, the dark haired woman. There's just something about her that just I thought. Yeah.
She's the one I relate to. And I love this because we have a hilarious clip that you provided to us from Sex and the City featuring my favorite character, Charlotte. Let's roll that clip.
And after dinner, Charlotte invited Eric home for coffee and. The and being, I'm determined to move on from my ex-sex.
Wow. This place is huge. Wow. You live here alone?
Uh-huh. It's not that big.
Not that big? Wow. Look in there. Was your ex like a king or something? Wow.
He's a doctor.
Wow. Look at the size of this place. Wow. I live in a studio. Wow. You're rich. Huh. My ex-wife was an Orthodox Jew, and now you're a rich girl. Why can't I ever find a woman who's compatible with me?
You know what? I'm not really feeling that well. Maybe you should go.
Jesus Christ, it's huge. It goes all the way back there. Wow.
Follow me.
Yeah, good idea.
Charlotte realized she may be ready to deal with her marriage past, but not her dating future.
I had a lovely dinner. Bye.
It's hilarious. Like, it's still hilarious.
It would be my reaction if I found out that my date had a beautiful New York apartment.
I'm telling you, it's incredible how relevant this show has remained. So any old movies that you're looking, like, I'm just thinking about The Grinch and It's a Wonderful Life. Like, do you have a mainstay that you just have to watch every year?
Every Christmas since I was a little guy, I've watched the Alistair Sims version of A Christmas Carol.
Nice.
And to me, there is no other version of that show.
Wow.
And that just really, it scares me still, like not in the same way it did when I was a kid, but it also evoked this sort of a magical feeling about the healing power of Christmas. And, yes. You know, and I still want to embrace that even as an older gentleman.
Absolutely.
Or older man anyway. And that Alistair Sim, he's the best, in my opinion, the best Scrooge.
Wow.
But Judy, I did recommend this one year, And it's I take this as a feather in my cap, because I don't know with your children how difficult it is to recommend something that you love and actually have them embrace it.
Yes.
But a movie I recommended to you a few years ago, a Christmas movie called The Holdovers.
Yes.
My daughter loves that movie.
It's so and great.
It's a great brand new Christmas
movie. Oh, it's so good. I've got to watch that again. It's so, so good. I love that. I'm so glad you ended on that note. I know I've asked you this umpteen times before, but what is bliss these days for Tom Ernst?
I'm going to say it's the quiet times I get to spend writing, sometimes just alone in my own thoughts and creating something new and discovering that even at well into my 60s, closing in on my 70s, that there are still new challenges and new avenues to follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best is yet to come. And you've got a new book coming out. I asked you this in the virtual green room, but of course, we'd love you to come back on when that book is ready and we'll tell you all about it. Sounds really exciting. I think it could become a movie, everybody.
I think so too.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. And everyone, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, think about 101 fascinating Canadian film and TV facts, or Tom's first book, The Wild Boy of Wabamuck, which could also become a film. And I also loved. There's that question again. He loves this question. You don't love this question.
I have no idea.
Okay. We're going to tell you how to contact Tom Ernst. But do you have a website or an email or something that you want to give people?
Well, I have an email. I don't have a website anymore. And I know I have TikTok. I just don't know what it is. I think it's at Ernst Tom, I think. E-R-N-S-T-T-H-O-M.
And
I think
that you're on Instagram twice, you know. So we always find you
on
Instagram.
What you say. I hear I'm on twice. I suppose I want to get all my things. I think the other one might be thom.ernst.
Love that. Yeah. I want to thank you so much, Tom, for being on. I know it's the sixth or the seventh time, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays to you and to your whole family, and wishing you all the best until next time. And can't wait for the book.
Thank you, Judy. I can't wait for you to read it either. Thank you, Judy. It's always a gift.
Always awesome. We're going to go on a short commercial break right now. When we come back, we'll meet Tim Gentle, who is the editor of the heartwarming story, Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And we're joined now by Tim Gentle, the editor of the charming new book, Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma. But it's actually 30 years in the making. Before we meet Tim, let me tell you a little bit about this very beautiful and heartwarming story. So for generations, we've curled up with holiday stories like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, A Christmas Carol, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This year, a new tale steps into that timeless tradition. Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma by Ian White is a charming, rhyming mystery about one frosty Christmas Eve when Santa's iconic red hat suddenly goes missing. And before it became a book, it was a voice. This is the best part of the story. It was a voice beside a cardboard fireplace in the halls of Toronto's Hospital for Sick Children, read every Christmas to children too tired or too wired to sleep. Later in 2019, Ian recorded it as an audiobook, his gentle voice like a cozy and comforting warm blanket. Now, finally, all these years later, it is ink and paper 36 pages, hand-illustrated by BC artist Sarah Cowan and edited by Tim Gentle, son of Ian's oldest friend. And so, in 2025, Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma has finally tiptoed into the world as a beautifully illustrated softcover, ready to find a spot beside milk cookies and maybe just a bit of faintly suspicious jingling. Here to tell us all about it is the editor of the book, Tim Gentle. And before we meet him, I'm going to tell you a bit about Tim. So Tim grew up in the small town of Bracebridge, Ontario, playing hockey and golf and working at Santa's Village as a promoter and then as Anchovy the Clown. And in high school, he gravitated towards the arts, performing regularly in plays and skits, as well as singing and playing trombone and drums in various bands. He attended the University of Waterloo from 96 to 99, where he graduated with an honors BA in theater and an English minor. He then graduated from George Brown Theatre School in 1999. Tim discovered the drum circle in Trinity Bellwoods Park and fell in love with that freestyle hand drumming, eventually becoming a community leader in Toronto's vibrant drum and dance community. During the pandemic, Tim returned to Bracebridge to help care for his father, Alan, at the end of his journey with cancer. This profound experience inspired him to obtain a certificate in contemplative end-of-life care at the Institute for Traditional Medicine in Toronto. Now he volunteers at Emily's House Children's Hospice as a portrait photographer. And today, as the editor of Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma, he is representing the author, Ian White. And so you get it all straight in your mind, Ian White, the author, is the very, very dear friend of Tim's late father. And so there's a lot of heart and soul and history and nostalgia in this 30-year-old plus story. Tim now lives in downtown Toronto when he isn't drumming. He's an abstract photographer. Tim, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. And before I ask you anything more, I want to play a clip from the audio version of Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma, just to let our listeners get the vibe of what this is all about. And this, of course, is in Ian's voice. And let's roll that clip.
Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma, written and narrated by Ian White. "'2 o'clock at the stroke. "'Santa awoke from an afternoon nap he'd been taking. "'It was a nap which begun at 1:45, "'but at 2 he was rudely awakened. "'There was a sound from the back, "'like the sound of a tap drip-dripping its drips in a basin.' "'There's something,' said he, "'in my house running free, "'unless I am badly mistaken. "'The sound was incessant, "'not at all pleasant, "'if one judged by the face he was making. "'It's a mouse,' Santa wheezed, "'and it's been into my cheese "'or whatever is left of the bacon.' "'But it wasn't a mouse. "'He had no mice in the house, "'and it wasn't the cheese that was taken.' Though something had crept through his house whilst he slept, something that likely he'd never suspect, for mine's a tale with a twist in the making.
Well, everyone, you can listen to this clip and much more by visiting www.snowballchristmasstory.com. And later on in this interview, we're going to tell you about the newest development, which is, for the very first time, Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma is available for purchase as a book with beautiful, colorful illustrations and all the rest. Can you tell us, Tim, Ian White was your father, Alan Gentle's closest friend, for more than 60 years. And you have said, and I quote, "To me, he was larger than life. The fun uncle who always arrived with a new joke, a magic trick, or the latest version of this twisting, rhyming Christmas mystery he'd been tinkering with. Family and friends retreated to recitals of Snowball in its many iterations. Over more than 30 years, Ian crafted every line with care, refining the rhythm, honing the wordplay, and honoring the timeless art of storytelling. He recited it for friends and family and From 2010 to 2017, he delighted children, as we mentioned, with Christmas readings at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. Bringing this story to life on the page has been a profoundly meaningful journey for Ian, Gail, and for you. And we are beyond grateful, and you've said this, that Ian's creation, enhanced by Sarah Cowan's gorgeous illustrations, now has a new life in the hands and hearts of a new generation of families this Christmas. Best Christmas present, everyone. You got to go out and get this now. What's heartbreaking is that this book is a legacy project, and the life, work, and passion of Ian's for 30 years finally being shared with and loved by the world as he's entering his end of life process, while sad is in itself its own beautiful Christmas story. As he is at the end of his life, this book is actually taking off and springing to life. Can you tell us a little bit more about this book's beautiful journey and a little bit more about your beloved Ian White?
Well, hearing that got me a little emotional. So, because yeah, I'm this just started as a way to spend more time with him. You know, we've connected throughout our life many times, just on weekends here and there. But for a lot of the last few years, it's been a great excuse to hang out with him again. And knowing that he's going through stuff and I can't really be there for him now, but that he's going into hospice. And the whole reason this book existed is because after we did the audiobook and the pandemic hit, and then after that, when the dust settled from the pandemic, Ian realized he had some serious cancer issues that he had to deal with, and he dealt with them like a champ. He's an old British dude, you know, walk it off kind of guy. But when he realized that, he basically said, you know, I've got a bunch of health stuff going on now, and I don't know how much time I have left, so I want to make sure that this book happens, that I get this book started. He just even wanted to know that it would happen, that it was inevitable. That sometimes, like, we weren't sure if we would finish it in time. So the fact that it's coming out now, again, it's so sad, but at the same time, it feels like a Christmas. It feels like a Christmas story of life and death happening at the same time, and hope where there's darkness and stuff like that. So being able to shepherd this project for him when he's not able to do it is an honor. And
what a wonderful thing that you're doing, taking over and letting this have its life. What a wonderful thing you're doing. And we're so grateful to you. You've ventured into the world of publishing and self-publishing. It's not an easy feat. And I know about it myself. What were some of the challenges? And can you describe happily the finished product, the actual publication for the very first time of Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma? Don't answer that just yet, Tim. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Tim Gentle about Ian White's heartwarming story, Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with Tim Gentle, the editor of Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma. Just before the break, Tim, I asked you about what it's been like to self-publish this beautiful book.
Absolutely. So I mean, I've basically been doing most of it myself. Putting the book together was, Ian was very involved in what he wanted on each page. He had already had like a kind of do-it-yourself version that he had created for those stories that he did at SickKids. Sarah did a great job of like doing homages to his earlier illustrations with her colored pencil drawings and how we laid it out. And she did a lot of help with the layout and work with the design of the book and making sure that her illustrations fit with the text. It was really a great process with her as well. But yeah, the biggest challenge has been, you know, there's just so many ins and outs. I've had a lot of friends who I rely on who are good at what they do, whether it's graphic design or InDesign or have published on KDP before, Amazon self-publishing, or, you know, I have web tech friends. I have different people I can rely on who have been really supportive and generous and understood that this is just a really wild ride that I've subscribed to. And then, yeah, seeing it in person.
Can you share it with us? Let's see.
This is what it looks like. And this is actually, I'm showing you, this is a special copy. This is one of the few remaining copies that have Ian's signature. So to give you like where all this is going, I'm going to get emotional again. But the last time I saw Ian in person, because I would go to his place in Scarborough. We went to Dogfish, like a place at the Scarborough Bluffs, where we would have our lunch and do our production meetings. But eventually, yeah, his eyesight started to be a problem. And we would meet at his place, have our meetings there. And so the last time I was there, he was present and clear. And we had a lovely hour long while he was just kind of focused, almost meditating in just writing his Merry Christmas, I.R. White. He talked about his past. He talked about his upbringing. But we had that moment where he's like, I never would have thought here I am 87 years old and signing 80 copies of my own book, you know, like he had that moment where obviously we assured that like, yeah, we got it. Awesome. You know, we did it. It's out. He knows it's out, whatever happens or whatever happens now. Like, and so that for me was my present that he acknowledged. And he's been, you know, he's been super appreciative, of course, of everyone's support, you know.
Yeah.
So you can see it's in memory of my dad here. The first thing is just a loving memory of Alan Gentle. They were golf buddies for years and years. And so I've played rounds and rounds of golf with Ian throughout the years. And then the illustrations are these beautiful, these are all layered colored pencil. Like Sarah is a master and longtime perfectionist of this style of art. So several layers of tones of different colored pencil. And
gorgeous. There's Christmas colors. You have to get this, guys, to see what I'm seeing right now. But all these gorgeous, you know, greens and reds and pinks and so, cobalt
for example,
blues.
Here's a little detail that I liked of Sarah's. You can see in this picture, which is kind of what inspired the cover picture, which is Santa waking up from his nap and realizing that his hat is gone. You know, the whole story is a rhyming mystery about Santa's hat going missing on Christmas Eve. So he wakes up, finds his hat missing. But I love in the background, first of all, you see there's all kinds of letters on the background of his cabin, which is kind of sparsely decorated. But look, he has a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree because Christmas isn't for him. He's not making a big Christmas tree for himself. He's just got a little one in the corner. But, you know, I like that little detail that we kept in. And yeah, besides that, the print is nice and large. And the rhyme, like really the star of this book is the wording, like Ian is a wordsmith and a lover of the English language, and he spent so much time making sure every little turn of phrase, every word, every reference or double meaning is exactly right, you know? So the ride he takes you on, like the way he arcs the story, for me, I read it and I still get choked up. Like it still gets me because there's a couple little ending parts that are just really beautiful details. And I think it's just something that people... Gorgeous. That people will enjoy reading and telling as much as the little people who read it or hear it will enjoy hearing.
That's a gorgeous illustration.
It reminds me a little bit of Starry Night by Van Gogh. Not to tout it too high, but it's a beautiful North Pole starry night just with blankets of snow. A little bit of like Group of Seven too, I feel, is in there. But it's just a beautiful starry night where the wording is, and so neath a sky that is studded with diamonds and spreads out as far as a body can see, We now turn to the crux, to the heart of my story, to its meat and potatoes, go we. Right? This is the little calm before the storm of what you're about to reveal, which I'm not going to reveal just yet. But there's a little fun little twist ending. And so, yeah, these books that are signed, that are now quite precious, actually, we're only putting those, we've got a separate product. We've got the Snowball soft cover, but in the gift box, which is a little beautiful little gift box, which you get, you know, a Santa hat with it. You get coloring pages and colored pencils that go with it. You get the link to the full audiobook from 2018 and a bunch of other stuff. So it's a nice little gift package with a kind of do-it-yourself wrapping inside so you can just sign it and give it to someone. But there's only 20 left. Like, we're doing like ultra limited version of this.
To get the book for our listeners who want to get the book before Christmas.
You can get there, the gift bundles and the softcover books at snowballchristmasstory.com.
Get it through the website. We'll tell you more about this at the end of the show. So I love also that this is a Christmas story about how the spirit of compassion and gratitude triumph over suspicion and fear. Can you just tell us briefly about that?
Well, without giving away the end of the story, because I feel like that's something that's just fun to discover every time, is that Santa's hat goes missing and he ties himself up in all kinds of mental knots. And physical knots, even, like, he's looking all, you know how it is when you need to find something yes. and you can't find it and you're sure you left it. He knows where it left. He left it. It's not there. Yes. So he's going insane over this and creating all this drama over what will happen if he doesn't find his hat. All the people who are going to be angry at him and all the children he'll disappoint. So he ties himself up in knots. And then when it actually finally comes to light, what happened to the hat? There is a change in him that he realizes that all that was meant nothing. And what matters now is what's happening now that he found the hat, right?
Yes.
And that there are presents and presents, you know, if you want to do that double entendre, yeah. there's present in the present, in that present moment. And being grateful is really the cure to all that fear and anger and all the other kind of negative emotions.
I think you might have already answered this, but briefly, just what has it meant for you to be involved in this project? And I know your tears and have said it all, but
I'm doing my best to shepherd it in the way that Ian has described to me over the course of our relationship. He's been very clear about what he wants for this book. Like, his dream is for Morgan Freeman to narrate the animated version, wow. just like you see, every Christmas time you have Charlie Brown Christmas, Grinch Who Stole Christmas, you know, and his little animated version would come up with that. So Morgan Freeman, if you're listening, we're taking submissions for the animated version next year.
Yes, Snowball at Christmas lovely. Dilemma. This is how these things happen. You know this. They happen on the golf course. They happen on radio shows.
Yeah.
Right?
And, you know, and people, to the story's credit, like, people have heard what's going on and it's been embraced. We were on global news. We were the official book of the Santa Claus parade. You know, so we got Santa telling people to read our book. And the story behind the story has been a beautiful way to get people interested in the real story, which is the book, the story itself, which is an amazing, masterfully told, old timey Christmas kind of gather around children kind of story.
Of course. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you as well. What is bliss for Tim Gentle?
I think bliss is being absorbed in some type of meaningful purpose, like feeling you're absorbed in something and that, you know, a part of it's like surrender and feeling that you're in the right flow of you're feeling in that right flow, that there's no friction and that there's a joy happening both ways, that you're giving joy and you see the joys being received. Not that it's important, but you know, usually there's a positive feedback loop when that's happening. And so noticing that without getting too high about it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Greatest golden nugget you want to leave people with after reading this book?
I think it's just that even at the age of 87, Ian has got out his masterpiece. And whatever your masterpiece is that you have in you, like, even if you're not able to do it yourself, you have friends. Ian had no idea about self-publishing. He'd been writing letters to Disney and they were like, we can't open your letter or else we could be incriminating ourselves. You know, he didn't know. So there are people there in the fringes of your life, or maybe main people that you know, who are able to help you get some of this stuff out. And making a book, putting a book on Amazon or putting a book out is not as hard as you think it is. With you have a little bit of assistance.
You're so right. You're so right. Yeah. And you're the magical elf that really made a lot of this happen. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you very much. As I said, it's been an honor and really just a really fun, amazing learning experience and Christmas roller coaster. Christmas that's snowballing coaster. As it goes. You know, it's its own snowball.
What is the best way for people to contact you, Tim, and connect with you on social media? And then again, repeat this most important thing, which is the best way to get the book is through the website.
Well, we're on Instagram at Snowball Christmas Story, and we're on Facebook at with the title of the book, Snowball Christmas Dilemma. And the webpage itself, where you can see all about the book, the behind the scenes, you can see some of the clips of the stuff we've been in lately, clips from the Santa Claus parade and things like that, as well as, yeah, all the behind the scenes stuff. The audiobook clip in that is at www.snowballchristmasstory.com. And that's where you can buy the softcover and the gift bundle.
Awesome. Tim, it's been a real honor to have you here, really. And I'm so delighted that we made this happen because it was.
Thank you, Judy. I really appreciate we did this too. Thank you so much for having me on.
So wonderful. As an extra special holiday treat, we're going to end the show today with an absolutely breathtaking rendition of O Holy Night, performed by Amelia DePiero. Before we hear it, let me tell you a little bit more about Amelia. Amelia DePiero is a graduate of the Voice Performance Program at the University of Toronto's Faculty of Music. A versatile soprano with a deep passion for the performing arts, she studied under the guidance of Elizabeth McDonald and rehearsal coach Susie Smith. Comfortable in both classical repertoire and musical theater, Amelia brings a well-rounded and expressive artistry to every performance. A proud alumna of the Huron Heights Arts Huron program in Newmarket, Amelia completed a double major in voice and drama. Her past roles have included Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray, Mother Abbess in The Sound of Music, and Wild Mary in Colors in the Storm, Ontario Showcase performance at the Sears Drama Festival. She has served as a youth vocal apprentice with the Orpheus Choir of Toronto and as a fellow of the Bradford Arts Centre. This past year brought meaningful new milestones. On December 6, Amelia presented her first solo recital since 2021, Tidings of Comfort and Joy, a fundraising concert for her home church, Trinity United Church, where she currently serves as a soprano soloist. A true full circle moment happened for Amelia this year as she entered several of her own students in the Newmarket Voice Festival, the same festival that she competed in from ages 10 to 18. This was an exciting and rewarding experience as some of her students even made it to compete at the provincial level. Amelia is currently the lead voice instructor, theory teacher, and drama coach at Denai Studios, where she is dedicated to nurturing emerging artists and instilling confidence and sparking creativity and joy in every student that she teaches. She's beyond thrilled to be singing out this year's annual Christmas show with her nostalgic rendition of O Holy Night by Adolph Adam. Without further ado, let's listen to Amelia DePiero and her beautiful rendition of O Holy Night.
was absolutely beautiful, Amelia. Thank you so much for that. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. We're also giving away a very special signed copy of Snowball, A Christmas Dilemma by the late beloved Ian White, illustrated by Sarah Cowan and edited by Tim Gentle. All you have to do to enter to win a copy of this beautiful book is follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram and follow at Snowball Christmas Story on Instagram. Just like and tag two friends on our Finding Your Bliss giveaway post, and the winner will be announced on Monday, December 22nd at 6 p.m. And tonight, for one night only, broadcasting live from the heart of New York City, it's the 24K Holiday Soiree, a jazzy Christmas spectacular straight from a 1960s holiday special happening at Chelsea Table and Stage at 7 p.m. sharp, featuring big band jazz, dazzling vocals, and a special appearance by their special star guest, the luminous Liz Rose Sings. If you're not in New York City, you can also tune in to the live stream by visiting chelseatableandstage.com. Just go to tickets and shows and follow the prompts for the 24K Holiday Soiree. Each week, we spotlight fabulous people like Tim Gentle and Tom Ernst, and also Amelia Piero. All of these people are, of course, living their bliss. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach, and that means that I help you get unstuck and find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebreich. And of course, you can always find us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would like to thank all of our wonderful guests today for being on the show, Tom Ernst, Tim Gentle, and Amelia DiPiero. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannicello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our official sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. And as well, thank you to Garrett Florist, our studio florist, for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. Happy holidays to everyone. Wishing you all a wonderful Christmas and Hanukkah and holiday season. We'll see you with all brand new shows in the new year. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebreich, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.